Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love the Lord our God and King. Those who love Him, He can instruct, He can guide them. God loves His people so much. And His people will respond to all the things that He's saying to do. His people will listen. His people will obey Him. His people will do what He said to them. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. Stranger, they won't follow." And I love when His people do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will convict them for it. They feel the conviction in their heart. And now when that stops happening, you're probably not in the kingdom of God anymore. If you can do evil and God says nothing. But God chastises His own people. He won't keep doing it, but you got to repent. And He's pulling for you. See, even though Jesus saved us, He's still pulling for you. He wants you to win in life. He wants you to stay in the kingdom of God. And He's interceding on your behalf. And the Holy Spirit sent people to say the right things at the right moments to help you stay on course. Because these are evil times. Evil is all around us. But the Lord didn't give up on us. He loves us. And He's serious about His vast love for us. I'm going to pick up where we left off yesterday. The last broadcast was Light Bearer. And I like the way the Lord names these broadcasts. In the past, we used to just put, the date. But now we put their title. And I like it. I like that better. Nevertheless, the Lord wants His people to know Him. And He made Lucifer for a glorious purpose. And I mentioned how the Lord told me, I was doing a broadcast and I mentioned by the Holy Spirit that Lucifer went from being a judge to an accuser. He went from being a judge to an accuser. And many of you wanted more teaching on how was He a judge. So the Lord brought it to my attention and had me to do these broadcasts about why He was a judge and how He was a judge. And yesterday I was thinking about some of the scriptures that I had given. I mentioned about Job chapter 3 and 4, where Job or one of his friends said that even the angels, are not clean in God's sight. Now, this was back at a time when the patriarchs was alive, because Job was Jewish. And the Lord told me he was Jewish, so I found his name. I tried to find him in the patriarch. It's there. But Jewish names are spelled differently. There's no J in the Hebrew alphabet. It's spelled one way in Genesis and another way in Chronicles. But Job is Isaac's third son. And his friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Naaman the, I forgot where he was from, but they were sons of Ishmael and Eliphaz. And Esau. And remember, Job's friends were much older than he was. They were the age of his father. And that was a 20, 30 year gap between them, he and his friends. His friends were much older. And these are things to know. You know that because Job had a son that had a house. So his son was probably between 15 and 20 years old. Possibly, I don't know. I don't know everything. But to have a son with a house, he had to be considered grown. Nevertheless, Job was a very wealthy man, so it wasn't a problem for a son to have a house. And all of his other children died there. And you know the story, the winds blew it upon them. So Job, and it was orchestrated by Satan, our enemy. The scripture, I went back and looked at, it's Job chapter 4, verse 18. And it was Eliphaz who had the dream, and he was talking about how angels are not always clean in God's sight. Now, the Lord saw something for me, and the Lord did something about it. And he loves us. He loved all of his creation, not just man. He loved the angels, too. He didn't want to see the angels fall. But it was something going on. And before it happened, the Lord made Lucifer. Now, also in Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord would use illustrations to get people on board with what was going to happen. He had Isaiah to walk around naked and barefoot for 3 years to get the attention, to show Egypt and Ethiopia what was going to happen to them, because they were going to go into Assyrian captivity and they were going to be walking naked and barefoot. And the prophet let them know what was going to happen before it happened. See, that way you can repent. He really didn't want people to be transported from another land. He loves every kingdom. He just wants them to do what's right and not be an enemy against Israel. But they didn't repent, so they went into the Syrian captivity because of that wickedness. Wickedness will always cause captivity or some form of destruction. And it's avoidable. That's the good thing. That's why God sent prophets, so that it won't happen. They already put it in motion and it's going to happen. But if you repent and change your ways, it don't have to happen. Like we talked about with Nineveh. They repented in sackcloth and ashes at the preaching of Jonah. They heeded the warning and they avoided what was about to happen that day. They had just enough time to repent, and the king ordered a nationwide fast, and they didn't even let the animals eat anything. The animals fasted. Jonah wanted to see the destruction, and nothing happened because God didn't have to judge him. Even in this world, there's a false prophet and there's the Antichrist. If people would get saved, they don't have to go through the troubles that's going to come. If everybody got saved, then the enemy won't be able to deploy his false prophet and his puppet Antichrist. They'll just be standing there looking stupid. And people will be laughing at them, and nobody will take their mark, and nobody will believe them if everybody got saved. But that won't happen. It's not going to go that way. Because Daniel said the wicked will do wicked of their own free will. But when we preach the gospel, people come out of the world and they stop being wicked. But there are always people who will be wicked. So they put this in motion, and that's all they want. The tragedies of Revelation got to happen because men chose wickedness. Now, but before it got to that point, even in Lucifer's, that was a destruction that, you know, Lucifer already went through his revelation. He already went through his apocalypse. And we're about to go through ours because of hard-headed people. So, Lucifer has seen this before. Because he became Satan. Now, but before all this happened, the Lord put things in motion so that they could get a visual of what they didn't receive, what they didn't of how they were falling. The Lord uses illustrations sometimes. The Lord told Ezekiel to make a portrait on a tile and portray Israel being sieged and taken over, so they could have a visual. because they were about to be judged. The same thing, that's precisely what God was doing with Lucifer before the fall, mind you. All creation, there were those who were going the wrong way. A third of the angels fell and followed Satan by the time of Revelation 12. But God loved those angels and those people. See, God made more than just angels. There are different types. There's celestial and there's terrestrial people, not just men. And God, you know, God is still making planets and people. And he loves his creation. So all creation would have known what Lucifer was doing. And because he did this in their sight. Everything that God does, he did it in their sight to prevent the fall. Now, I want to talk about judgment. How was he a judge? Lucifer was designed by God. He had the wisdom to prevent not only not fall, but prevent the fall, or help people understand so that they would not choose the error of their way. Even though you're in the light, you can still choose to do something wrong. That's what happened. And the Lord did these things ahead of time. Now, he was designed to in his first estate, he was designed to do good things, to be a light bearer. And then he challenged God. He was looking for somebody to destroy. And then the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, that loves God and shuns evil, that fears God and shuns evil?" And he said, "I can make him curse you to your face." That's what Satan was trying to do. Now, we learn in chapter 3, at the end of chapter 3, that Job said, "The things I greatly feared has come upon me." And I want to point something out. God was not just playing with Job's life. Job feared evil. And his fear opened the gate for Satan to do this, not God. And Satan didn't even know the gate was open, because he's not perfect. This everything that happened turned out to be a blessing for the world, for everybody. It gave us a visual of our condition. And it wasn't Job's fault and it wasn't God's fault. Job didn't know what was going on. He didn't know about what happened. He didn't know that God was bragging on him and telling the truth about it, saying good things about it. Everything just went haywire. It just went wrong. He lost all of his camels, all of his livestock. He lost all of his children. He still wouldn't curse God to his face. So then, pushed his wife in to tell him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He said, "You speak like a foolish woman." That showed us that his heart was set towards God. Because the words of your wife are heavy words. Men like to impress their wives. And he got up told. He said, "You sound like a foolish woman." And then here come his friends, and they tried to console him the wrong way. Now, this gave us an illustration of the wisdom they had. I want to say something about their friends, his friends. They were very educated people. They were wise people. They were godly people. But they were wrong in thinking, in accusing Job of secret sin. The first person my pastor laid hands on, she died. And this is why. He would go visit with her, read the word to her, teach her the word, encourage her, and she started doing better, and the healing process had started, and she would start doing great. And it amazed the doctors. And then her pastor would come along, a preacher that she knew. He was denominational. He didn't believe in healing. And when he got through, she was back in the into doubt again and depression. And then my pastor would come and talk to her, and she'd bubble up again. She would start doing better, and it amazed the doctors. And then the other pastor would come and say, no, no, God don't heal anymore. That's, you know, and talked her out of it. Now, modern day preachers, they have a lot to say. They are wise, and they love God sincerely, but if they were trained wrong, they teach wrong. And Job's friends went by what they saw, and then not by what the Spirit of the Lord directed them to say. Men are not always, they may have knowledge, but they're not always skilled at listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. It would be wonderful if they did, but that's just not how it goes sometimes. We know in part. To do a perfect work, you have to regard the Holy Spirit. But Job knew that he didn't do any evil like they were accusing. So they went back and forth. And this was draining the strength of Job. It was frustrating to him. It became worse than the original tragedies, along with the pain in his body. But he just would not budge from his integrity. And he did right. And sometimes he justified himself. But remember, he didn't know what was happening. When you read the whole book, you see how it is. You take what you know and what you don't know, and then tragedy strikes, and you don't know what happened. But when you read the book of Job, you know where to start. You know to start fighting Satan back, and you know to start trusting God again. Because it's the same fight. Now, Job's friends, they were older, they were wise like he was. And see, people are attracted to people for reasons. Job was attracted to these three men because they loved God and they were sincere in the heart. And their conversation was centered around the Lord. Satan knew that they would be moved by sight. At least his friends came to see about him. His brothers didn't come to see about him until after everything was over and done with. These three friends were sticking closer than a brother. And Satan was using their misinformation as a weapon against Job to get him to curse God and die. But he still wouldn't do it. So by standing strong, Job ended up judging Satan in heaven's court. One of the Sunday school teachers, Ray Wilson, he pointed this out. He said, Satan was Lucifer. He was an angel. He knew better. And there was nothing to provoke him into evil. And he decided to go evil. He became the father of lies, the first liar. And while we're at it, I'll clear up some myths about him in the next broadcast or two. But anyway, Job, a man that never seen God's face like Lucifer did, never knew the rudiments of heaven like Lucifer did. He was learning on earth from a fallen condition, and he loved God and feared God to the point that he wouldn't deny him and curse him to his face. By Job doing what he would, by him just standing and living, he judged Satan. Not only Satan, but everybody that fell at that time. And he was an Old Testament saint. He didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside yet. He just had the fear of the Lord. And he hated what sin was doing to humanity. So he judged Satan. He embarrassed him. Made a show of him openly forever. If Job did it, anybody can do it if they want to. When you live right, Jesus said, we've been made righteous. So in the package of righteousness, we are the salt of the earth, and we're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We live the life of God that gives the world illumination, example to what's right. And it exposes all darkness for what it is that's wrong. And by doing so, we are effective and we are like salt. It keeps meat from rotting. It keeps the parasites away. And it won't stink. That's how they used to preserve meat in old times. They salt it down. We keep it from rotting. We keep the world stable and keep it from rotting. When God take his people off the earth will destroy it. The people on earth will destroy themselves. And it won't take long for them to do it. They'll vote God out and they'll make it against the law and Satan will finish him off. And it'll be the end of humanity. It's a system that can't work. Without Christians, the whole earth will fail. So we're judges too. We do what Lucifer was supposed to do. And Jesus did everything as a man. He became a man. He had to learn everything, just like we do. He grew from glory. He grew in wisdom from glory to glory, just like we do. He's the light of the world. As he is, so are we in this world. And we're joined as with Christ. So now everybody who loves God and follows him is the light of the world. Salt of the earth. We make things go. And we make things stop. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is also loosed in heaven. We're judges. Just like the Ninevites. They repented. And save their land from utter destruction. And they judge Chorazin and Capernaum and all the cities that Jesus listed in Luke chapter 10. That's why I say he's a judge. He was supposed to be a judge. What would he have been doing? Remember, in the discourse of Ezekiel chapter 28, he was in Eden, the garden of God. He was in Eden, the garden of God. So he was supposed to be doing the same thing Adam should have done. He was going to make the whole world look like that garden, bring things to life in the sight of the universe. And it would have provided them with an element of truth that they were waning in. Now, I don't know anything about their kingdom. It's much like ours. And I asked the Lord, what are angels like? And he said, angels, they like beautiful things. That's what they were used to. They like order and beautiful things, you know. But when people are born into a good home, they can wonder about things. Children that's brought up right, they know what's right. They've been taught what's right. They go to school and then they see other people doing wrong, listening to music that sounds good but is evil. And they want to look into it. Well, there was no evil for people to look into. But they were very intelligent people. And before they fell, before they went to darkness, they needed some kind of example so that they wouldn't choose the evil path. Because God didn't create evil. There was no reference for it. It would have just been thoughts and something that they thought up. But the Lord saw foolishness forming, so he made Lucifer to judge it. And just like when we're the salt, light of the world and the salt of the earth, a lot of things, there would be more crimes if there were less Christians. But if there's more Christians, that the crime rate will drop. It's been proven over and over and over again. And people get saved that would have been criminals. Sometimes people get saved that were criminals and they become productive citizens, even preachers. Just like Saul of Tarsus. He was basically a Pharisee terrorist. He did the same thing Bin Laden was doing, killing Christians, putting them in jail. And Jesus knocked him off his horse and he repented. But he heard the words of Stephen. So it's important now to, the more you grow in him, the more you grow in the Lord, the more effective you'll be. You won't be like the salt that has no flavor to it, that they put on the path where people walk to kill weeds. You know, salt always has some, you know, salt that has no flavor, they put it on the ground to kill weeds, keep the path clear. But we'll be effective people. And when, as we grow from glory to glory, our light shines brighter in darkness. And we help judge the world together. We do it as one body. We are individuals. But as we follow God, we operate as one. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And I'll stay on this subject as long as needs be. And I hope I've given insight into how Lucifer was once a glorious judge. But now he is just a two-bit accuser. Try to get people in trouble, then accuse them before the Father. Try to make us curse God to his face. Evil. He become evil. I'm out of time. Lord's not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your lives. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.